Welcome again to Cottage Talk Extra Time. I am Russ Goldman, and co-host, and with me today will be Giannis, Janaeus, Mike Gregg, and Steve Woodyard. In this episode, we will be discussing the very disappointing 5-1 loss performed Friday night against Bournemouth at Craven Cottage. There's no way to sugarcoat this. This was horrible, terrible. I've already described it as 2 hours I'll never get back in my life. It was a horrible performance by Fulham Football Club, and we will go through this. There's no way else to say it, but the word horrible, I think, is the best way to open the show by saying that. I'm not going to be making any excuses here. There's no excuse for that performance, and we will break it down in these next 60 to 90 minutes. But it looks like I do have someone on the line with me. One of my co-hosts is on, who just joined me. And do I have one of my co-hosts on with me? And maybe I don't.
Okay.
Would that be you, Mike? Mike, is that you with me? Okay, just
I can hear you.
I'm sorry about that, Mike. Could you just dial back in? Sorry about that. I dropped you by accident. I apologize for that, my friend. Just dial back in, and hopefully my other co-host will be joining me shortly. The good old Skype connection not doing the greatest, so Mike should be joining me shortly. Looks like I do have Giannis with me. Giannis, are you with me? Okay, Giannis is not with me. Boy, we're having all kinds of Skype issues this morning. But it looks like maybe Steve Woodyard is with me. Steve, are you with me?
Yeah, I'm with you, Ross. Can you hear me?
You are coming through perfectly. How are you doing there, Steve?
I'm all right, mate. I'm not too bad. I'm a little bit shocked after Friday, but, you know, that's what we had to talk about.
Absolutely, absolutely. Looks like we might have Mike back on. Let me give this another try with Mike. Mike, are you with us now?
Hi, Ross. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. Sorry about the technical difficulties. All of a sudden, having all kinds of technical difficulties. Giannis was having an issue getting in, too, but it sounds like you're in. Thank you for joining us, Mike.
Yeah, no problem. I would like to say I'm looking forward to the show and discussing Friday, but I'd be lying a little bit, I think.
I know, Mike, I know. But listen, let's get through this. Let's get it all out there. We're going to get it all out there. I think Giannis is on with me, too. Let me bring him on. Giannis, are you with me now? Can you hear me, Giannis? Okay, Giannis keeps dropping off. Giannis, you might have to try your wife's Skype account. We've had that problem one time before. Maybe give that a try, and hopefully that will get us going. All right, Mike, I'm gonna start with you. Listen, very, very poor performance. You know, I'm glad that I've had an extra day to calm down from what happened at Craven Cottage. But you were there. Just share with me what you saw at Craven Cottage Friday night.
Well, it was definitely car crash TV for anyone watching who's a Fulham fan. And for the fans there, it was almost dumbstruck, really, after the first 10 minutes we were okay, had a couple of chances. I think people, certainly within the ground, you know, the team selection was odd. Odd in the fact that, you know, people like Hugo were starting and the two full-backs straight in. But there was an air of, you know, it's going to be a tough night, but nothing in the end of what we actually saw. And it was quite a subdued ground. You know, there was a lot of empty spaces on the Fulham side, on the Fulham stand, and maybe that fed back to the guys on the pitch. You know, Bournemouth fans were quite good. But, yeah, just generally, it was just a disaster. And unfortunately, you know, I have said and I have posted on a few blogs as well occasionally that, you know, everyone's been calling for Hoogland and Amberetta to be back and Smith to get a chance as well. You know, he did well. You know, we'll get to that later.
Yeah.
But everything that I saw in Amberetta in the last 18, you know, last 2 years, and even Hoogland in his first spell in the team when he joined at the beginning of the season. It was all there to see again. And, you know, they were never going to be the saviours, even half fit. So, yeah, it was a disaster. Absolutely no fluidity between the players. You know, they weren't trying like they did last week against Derby. And it's just over the three games, Derby, Watford and this game, the performance level dropped, and we can't compete against these teams unless we're 100% on it from the kickoff.
I couldn't agree with you more, Mike. And before I go to Steve, I want to mention this. The beginning of the match, you know, again, I'm watching the beginning, and I'm thinking, okay, we're okay. It seemed pretty even. But what was scary to me, and I want to get your thoughts on this, was how open it was. The fact that it seemed Bournemouth had so much room to maneuver when they did have. They looked so dangerous, Mike. I was nervous from the beginning. Did you feel the same way?
Yeah, because they're such a good team as well. You know, I was at the away game, and the way they play is a lovely type of football. I'd love us to, you know, play that kind of formation, have those kind of players. They were moving off the ball. But, you know, they didn't cause us too many problems. We had to make a couple of saves, but, you know, we were getting forward as well. And, you know, it was an open game. And, you know, unfortunately, we didn't get that first goal. And then as soon as that goal went in, heads were down, and yep. It was a tough 90 minutes. But I think that's the way they play. They play a nice sort of a attacking football, and I think they're always going to give chances at their end. But the fact was, you know, they were just so much better than us. You know, it was embarrassing. Off the ball running, the passing, two touches, yep. Everything about it was just, yeah. Eddie Howe's got a good team there, and he's built it up over the last couple of years, and that's what happens when you give a manager time, or at least a manager who has that sort of philosophy.
You know, all good points by you, Mike. And, boy, it's, you know, again, watching back at it, and I watched it again this morning, and I was delaying it as long as I could. You know, again, we're going to do the show, and I'm like, should I? You know, I have to watch it again. I watched it already, but I had to watch it again, and it was just as painful the second time as it was the first time. All right, Steve, I'm going to go to you again. This is your birthday, so I kind of really feel bad for you on Friday. This is your birthday, and you go and you watch this. Share with me your thoughts about what you saw at Craven Cottage.
Well, the pie and mash was good before the game, and then it kind of went a bit downhill from there, really. I don't really think we've learned from the first game. It just seemed that everything that went wrong in the first game, you know, sort of with the diamond, the ball's going down the flanks, they're out ball, you know, to get rid of the danger, and they had someone running the channels. And it just seemed that we just gave that option to them again, you know. And even when we had the pack midfield, you know, they still seem to come straight through the middle as well. So it's like, if you're going to have the diamond, surely you've got to be solid through the middle. But we were neither. We were not solid, obviously, down the wings. We weren't solid through the middle. It was just disastrous, really.
Yeah, listen, it really was. And you kind of nailed it, you know. Again, they were so dangerous, and like you said, run up the middle. I mean, that's not something that should have happened, but it did there, Steve. And you know, again, I asked Mike the same question. You're sitting there, you're watching this. You know, again, they don't score until midway through the first half, a little bit after that. You know, were you concerned watching this? Because again, we had our opportunities. It was this open match. But did you feel similar to Mike that nervousness that if they scored the first goal, we were going to be in trouble?
Definitely. But, I mean, we were still creating chances. And I think before that, there was a couple of free headers from corners, you know, like Amor Bieta, I think, springs to mind, that had one. And it was just, you know, you've got to be taking those chances because you know that if they go at the other end, it's going to go in. And we just didn't seem to want it at times. It was really strange.
Yeah, you know, and again, what's very interesting about this, you know, watching the intensity level from Derby County, like you were saying, Mike, to Watford now to this, if we're not at that intensity level and playing like that, you know, then we're just going to get beat, and, you know, against a very good side. And this is a very good side. And Mike, I'm glad that you started this off by giving credit to Eddie Howe. He deserves all the credit in the world. And it's not like, you know, again, they were doing anything too difficult here. They were just taking advantage of their opportunities when they had them, and they were scoring on them. more often than not, in form we're not, like I said, it's funny because it really did seem pretty even for a good portion of the first half, but the first goal changes everything. It really did. All right, Mike, I'm gonna start with you. Unfortunately, Giannis is having some Skype issues. He just messaged me, so hopefully he'll be able to get in at some point. But let's start here. Let's talk about the starting 11 because I want to get your thoughts. I was surprised, like you mentioned, I was surprised to see Hugo. I was also surprised to see both Amorebieta and Hoogland. So just share with me your thoughts again about that starting 11 when you first saw it.
Yeah, I mean, after Kit's press conference, I was certainly expecting either Hoogland or Amorebieta to start one, at least one of them. I wasn't expecting both. And as much as I'm a fan of Hugo's, or, you know, at least don't think he deserves some of the criticism he gets, I was expecting Woodrow to start, or even Smith. So for Hugo to go straight back in and start, I felt was very harsh, at least on Woodrow. And for the two fullbacks, for me, I've been saying Amorebieta, he's only played, I think, one under 21 game. So for him to sort of march in at left back, ahead of even Kavanagh and Stathelidis was on the bench. So if a bloke's on the bench, you sort of think, especially a fullback, oh, he's got to be fit. So why has he been dropped? And, then you have Hoogland going in and Richard's not on the on the bench. So earlier in the day, we had Jack Grimmer announced that he's had his contract extended. And again, I'm sort of thinking, oh, you know, you give this player a contract extension, then he's not in the 18, then you're putting in Hoogland at right back. You've got Amorebieta at left back. You know, I'm worried about match fitness, certainly for Amorebieta, because Hoogland, he came back a couple of games ago. But as I say, I've never been a real fan of either of those players. And as it panned out, as I said earlier, both their flaws in their games came through, embarrassed by the wingers of Bournemouth. But yeah, I mean, I was also Kavanagh was. I haven't seen many people mention this, but actually against Watford, Kavanagh was anonymous. You never even knew he was on the pitch. So for him to keep his place on that side of midfield was a surprise. And I felt for Fife, it should have been Kavanagh at left back if Stathelidis is injured. And then Fofana, I would have thought, because obviously he's out. But the other thing as well is, as Steve said, we never learned anything from the away game. They play the way they do with two wide men attacking fullbacks. So, again, if Ruiz is going to play, we've all agreed, the only way he can play is in a behind the front two.
Right.
So, really, for this game, he should have matched up, should have played four across the middle, two wide men. I know we haven't got proper attacking wide men, but we could have gone fairly defensive. Let's think back to Rennie last year when he picked Cunningham at right back and he almost became right midfield and almost became a second right back. So we should have been looking at something like that. And, we weren't at the races at all. And we've got skillful players, but they're just not playing as a team. So the only way you can combat these teams is to work hard, and they never did that. So I was disappointed with the lineup because tactically he just got it completely wrong, and selection wise as well.
Very interesting tape there, Mike, and thank you for sharing that. And looks like we do have Giannis. I'm going to bring him on right now. Giannis, are you with me?
Hello.
Oh jeez, how's the weather up in Canada, Giannis?
It's been a bit cold. I've been watching reruns of Thomas the Tank Engine to remind me about how bad we are defensively.
Okay. Well, listen, I'm going to go to you now. I want to get your opening thoughts on what you watched. And also, again, we started talking about the starting 11. Mike shared his thoughts on it. So talk a little bit about just your thoughts on the match and also on the starting 11 when you saw it.
Well, we'll start with the thoughts, and I've calmed down since Friday night. There's many, many words I can think of. Spew, slurry, tripe, crap. I mean, Russ, let's look at this for a sec. We've got a goal difference of minus 17. We've conceded 64 in the league. We have conceded 5 goals in a game 5 times this year, and 4 of them have been at the Cottage. You know, I mean, it is Titanic type defending. If you'd said to me 12 months ago we'd be losing 5-1 at Bournemouth, you know, 5-0 at home to Watford, I'd have laughed at you. But Friday night, as Mike said, I mean, I saw the lineup, my head nearly fell off. You're playing 2 fullbacks who've been injured for a long time. You've just given Grimmer a contract, but he's not in the 18. He doesn't know what he's doing, Russ. He doesn't know, and he's not. And Mike's right. He's not learned. Guess what? He went down to Dean Court, and we lost, and they're a good side. I'm not going to take anything away from Bournemouth. They're top for a reason. But the point of having scouts and having a coaching team is you go down not just to take notes when you play them. You take notes before the game that you play them anyway. So you can see what we know. They've got attacking fullbacks. We know they've got wingers. We know they like to do overlaps. Did we learn? No. We
no.
And it was a train wreck. It was a train wreck from the start. And I got booed and massacred on Twitter because I said, get out, get rid of him. And I got laughed at. I mean, really? I mean, 5-1 on a Friday night on Sky Sports in front of 16,000 fans. And those poor fans that went out there, God bless all the Fulham fans that went out to support them.
Giannis, you still there? You were just breaking up a little bit. Can you hear me? Boy, you really are having Skype issues. I'm not hearing you, my friend. Maybe try dialing back in again. Can you hear me? Let's give you one last chance here. All right, I don't think Giannis is hearing me. So I will take him off, and hopefully he can dial back in. Sorry, Giannis, we're just having these Skype issues. Right in the middle of a great rant, too. Steve, over to you. I want to get your thoughts on maybe what Giannis shared and also the starting 11.
Pretty much the same as Mike and Giannis. I don't understand. It's great to have, obviously Morbieta back along with Hoogland, but I really don't understand why they were starting against, top of the league. To be fair to Morbieta, he's not the quickest lad. And I mean, Matt Ritchie just made him look silly. It's just a straight one-on-one race. They were just putting the ball over the top, and he was winning every single time. It just seems silly. And at times there were players just shutting down the same ball, and then they just allowed the ball to just go in behind the fullbacks, straight down. And I think that led to possibly the second goal. I could be wrong on that one, but I know it's a sort of similar situation as well with that. And we just haven't learned, really. And it's disappointing. You go from Derby last week, through to Watford in the week, and then you think you can sort of put in a decent performance again, and it was just terrible. It was awful.
Yeah, listen, again, all I can say is I agree with everything you guys are talking about. It's very difficult not to agree with you. Let me try Giannis again. Giannis, you back with me?
I am, sir. Yeah, and you know what? I just heard the last comments. Absolutely. I mean, the fans are... he's not getting it, Russ. He's not getting it, mate. And you know what? I've said it to you before. It's the dramatic irony piece. The clown on the stage behind the guy on the stage with the custard pie and the kids yelling, look behind you, and he can't see him. We can see what's going on, and for some inexplicable reason, he can't. And this, you know what? When Felix was fired, we had 1 point from 8 games, so we were 7 games, below, what would you say, below 500. Well, we're still 1 game below with Kit in charge. So he's in charge for 28 games plus League Cup and FA Cup. So, I don't know.
Well, let me ask you this. I know where you're going. I know how you feel about Kit. What about the fact that Alan Kerbishley is now involved? If he's open to talk to him, do you think Kerbishley can help? Are you there, Giannis? Did I lose you again?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay. I think he's warming the seat for Kerbs. I think that's what it is. What baffles me is that Kit was a defender. As a defender, and a good defender he was, why can he not sort the back four out? Bettinelli is a sitting duck. He's a dartboard. What is he supposed to do? I mean, talk about kill confidence. I mean, I know we were pretty upset when Stockdale was sent off to Brighton. He's not had a good year. The point is, Bettinelli can only do so much. And defensively, we're all over the show. You see, I think Kit knows his formation. I don't think Kit knows what he wants to do. The problem we now have is the only saving grace is we're 8 points ahead of Millwall in the table. And they've got some difficult games coming up. But Friday night was just a disaster. And, you know, I mean, how much more do the fans have to put up with this? I don't know. It's bewildering and confusing.
No, listen, I hear you, Giannis, and that's why I'm glad that we could do this show. You know, let's get it out. That's why I'm actually glad that we had to wait an extra day, and that was for me for personal reasons. But I think I needed a day to calm down. Let's get it all out there now, and let's move forward after this to Sheffield Wednesday. But I want to go through this, and I'm going to cut through some of this because, again, I'll just mention this real quickly. Hugo had an opportunity early in the match in the fifth minute. You know, that was a decent opportunity. Let's give Marcus Bettinelli some credit. He made a nice save on Mark Pugh in the ninth minute. Fantastic save. Then Fernando Amorebieta had an opportunity on a header, but it was just too high from a setup from Brian Ruiz. So, again, that sets the table. And like I mentioned, the beginning of the match was pretty back and forth, very open, and when I listened back to it today, I heard Sean Davis and gentlemen Jim talking about that. They thought it was pretty even in the very, very early stages. We're talking 20, 25 minutes in. But, of course, everything changes now in the 29th minute. And Mike, I'm going to go to you. Let's talk about this goal. Let's talk about this goal by Brett Pittman that's set up by Charlie Daniels.
It had been coming. There's actually no doubt about that. I mean, we had a good, as you say, we had a good couple of chances, and we just felt every time they were attacking, we had so many gaps, we weren't doubling up. And really, the ball on the left comes in, and I turned to my old man and said, number 10, and he was on his own, and he just puts it away. And when you look at the replay, you see Bodroff leave him, go to the man in front of him, which is really Hutchinson's. And then, and Amberetta's coming in, running in from the back as well. And it was just, they're all so far away from each other. And then suddenly they're running towards the same men. And, you could just see it. It was almost in slow motion. And
it was.
It really sort of summed it up. You know, the back four doesn't seem to communicate at all. They're either too far apart or right on top of each other. And, Those two in the centre have been playing virtually for the last 3 months together. You know, Byrne hasn't had a look in. We've had a few heavy defeats, but he's stuck with them, even though a number of us have said they can, let's give Byrne a chance. But, and they all just, it's almost like they've never played together. And you've got to think about the language, Amberetta, Bodroff's English allegedly is not great.
But they're not communicating, Mike.
At all, they're not, because you look at it, there's no way that Bodroff should have gone to the man at the front and left him on his own. And it just summed it all up, and it just continues. You look at every goal, and it's just lack of communication between anyone. As I say, it was slow motion, and from where I was sitting, I just went number 10. Oh, God. Yeah.
What was so frustrating, it's exactly how you described, because when you watch it back, you say, I'm screaming, no, because you could see it. You could see it happening, and you were, like, helpless watching. It really was like slow motion, and it was a very simple finish. Very simple, easy finish. Brett Pittman did a very nice job, and again, they go up 1-0, and Steve, I'm going to go right back to you, because after that, I got to be honest with you. After that, if you want to say heads dropped, I don't know what happened, but again, at that point, Fulham had no control of this match. It was all Bournemouth from this point on in the later stages of the first half. It was all Bournemouth. And that's going to lead me to the second goal. 37th minute by Matt Ritchie. He makes it 2-0. and his left-footed shot gets by Bettinelli. It looks like it was deflected off of, I want to say, Bonnaroff. But talk about this. And at this point, did you really feel that we were in serious trouble and possibly the match being over?
Yeah, I had a feeling it was going to go actually the way it did off in goal because like I say, Matt Ritchie just had far too much time on the ball. It's not that we backed off him so much. It's that we backed off him and just gave him far too much space. You know, you can give him a sort of yard or so and say, right, you've got to try and drill the ball through me, which is near on impossible. But we just gave him far too much room and he just sort of sidestepped a couple, you know, couple of paces and just smashed it. And you can't do that at any level. You can't even do that at Sunday league level, let alone, you know, doing it out there and, you know, Premiership, Sky Bet, Championship, whatever you want. You know, just Yannis will tell you as a coach, you know, you just can't back off like that at any level and give that much space. And that's, you get what you deserve at the end of the day with that.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and again, 2-0 at that point, I'm thinking, okay, this is not going to end well. You know, again, there's still plenty of football to go, but I just did not have a good feeling based on how Fulham were playing. And the half ends with Fulham down 2-0. And Yannis, I'm going to go to you. As we start the second half, Kit does make a change. He brings on Matt Smith for Hugo. What are your thoughts about this move at halftime going into the second half?
Well, 45 minutes too late, and I mean that with the greatest respect to Hugo, because, I mean, I know he got some stick from the fans Friday night, and I think it's undeserved. He scored some good goals this year, but I've said for a while he's struggling, whether it's with fitness or confidence or a combination of both. Smith has played well since he's come back from City, so he decided to mix things up, and that was a decent decision. But you know what? It also makes me wonder what two things. Firstly, if you look at, you know, what we're talking about, Ritchie and backing off, I don't care if you're Bulgarian, Swedish, Icelandic, or bloody Kiwi. You're telling me they don't watch game film together? They've got to look at replays of how goals are conceded as a defensive unit and said, okay, this is what we need to do. This is how we need to do it. Because it seems like it's the same mistakes week in, week out. And half time, I'm not sure what Kit said, but I'm looking at the quote here at the end of the game, you know, and he says, you know, credit to Bournemouth, we're bitterly disappointed with the performance. We're conscious of what's below us. No one is under any illusions. You only have to look at the table. Everyone is fully aware of where we are. He knows he's in poo deep.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
He's deep in the doo doo. He knows. And the thing is, He's had months to sort out the formation. We've all been begging, get rid of the diamond, get wide players. Look at what Bournemouth do. They're not stupid. There's a reason they're top. But oh no, he keeps persisting with this. People were hankering for Smith to start Friday because of the impact he had against Watford. But did he start him? Of course not. No, he doesn't seem to have learned his lessons. And you know, when it was 2-0 at halftime, I texted my dad and I said, Dad, we're going to concede 5 tonight. I'm like, you know, and he said, he texts back and he says, you're right. You know, I mean, I'm glad Smith's goal, by the way, I have to say, was a cracking goal. Oh, great.
Yeah, we're
going
to get to that in a few minutes. Yep, it was.
Super finish. But Bournemouth were full value for this victory. They're a good side. They're well coached. They are going to go to the Premier League. They're going to surprise a lot of teams. And we are what we are, a team that's 20th in the division and look really miserable.
21st, by the way, now.
21st, yeah, sorry, 21st. I stand corrected, that's right. So we're fourth from bottom in the Championship. Mum.
Yep.
I mean, it's poor.
You know, and you know, David Holly's not with us, but he would say the table doesn't lie. And Yannis, the table doesn't lie. We are where we deserve to be at this point, and it's sad. And it's funny because I'm glad that, you know, we are talking about Bournemouth. You know, again, fun team to watch. I don't like watching them play against Fulham. Let's just leave it there. But they, you know, overall, well-drilled side. They know what they need to do, and they execute it. Simple as that. They execute their game plan to the best of their ability, and they get it done. And well-coached. I'm glad that you brought out Eddie Howe. Very well-coached. And they are going to go up, I think. And they are a good side.
Yeah.
And shame on me, and I'll say shame on me, for looking at the Watford match and thinking Watford were going to be the hardest match coming up. No, it actually should have been Bournemouth. I was not giving Bournemouth enough credit, and I should have. And all credit goes to Eddie Howe and all those players because they outclassed Fulham so badly it's not even funny. All right, let's move on. And, Mike, I'm going to go back to you. Before I do, I just want to mention just real quickly that, honestly, Bournemouth should have scored in the 52nd minute. You know, again, a great Matt Ritchie run, and Marcus Bettinelli got in the way, but the ball eventually got out to Harry Otter, and his shot went high and wide. So, again, we are still, at this point in the 52nd minute, we're still only at 2-0, but that, of course, changed. Again, and Mike, I want to talk about this because this goes to what we're talking about defensively. 61st minute, Brett Pittman goes by two Fulham players and puts the match away at 3-0. I've watched this several times. This, again, embarrassing for me to watch back. I want to get your thoughts about this. I think this is the worst goal of the bunch.
It starts with Kavanagh trying to find Ruiz, and then the ball defender gets in front of Ruiz, gets the ball to him about 10, 15 yards inside his own half. Absolute, we haven't got a player anywhere near him. And he just, you know, head down, runs forward. He beats Hudson, Wes Bodroff. Hudson ends on the floor. He's suddenly in the 18-yard box, and bang, it's a goal. And you can't blame Bettinelli. You've got to give the player credit. He kept on his feet, and he beat the players that were there. But absolutely horrendous. It just summed up the game where, you know, we've got players falling over. I mean, 10 minutes you saw Hoogland lose his foot in and fall over. Ambrett did the same as well in the first half. And it was just, when you're doing that, you know you're chasing other players, and they've got the best of you. And it was a really good goal, absolutely no doubt, but horrendous defending from ourselves. And sums up what I was saying earlier about the centre backs. You know, I mean, they should be doing better together now. And it just wasn't good enough. And the amount of people who streamed out the stadium when that ball went in, I've never seen people leave the ground so early. But, for anyone who watches the replay again, just look at the space he has when he receives the ball, and we haven't got anyone 10 to 15 yards near him.
Embarrassing, Mike. You know, again, I looked at this goal, and I just thought about this goal epitomizes the entire match. And just showed everything that was wrong with Fulham's performance. And it was just horrible defending. And like you said, and I'm glad that you're giving credit to Brett Pittman. He deserves credit. Great goal. Poor defending. Poor defending. We're focusing on Fulham more than Bournemouth. Got to give credit to Bournemouth. Poor defending, though. All right, Steve, I'm going to go back to you because I do want to talk about one of the only highlights we can really talk about in this match, and that was Matt Smith. And his goal in the 66th minute, like Giannis was saying earlier, was truly a wonderful goal. So talk about this. He was set up nicely by Ross McCormack. You can see this partnership. That this partnership is real, which is a good thing. But let's just focus on the goal. Talk about the goal by Matt Smith that made the match 3-1.
Yeah, I thought it was quite a good goal. And memory serves me correctly, and I haven't watched the replay, obviously I've seen it live. From memory serves me correctly, the ball was played into the feet I think he said McCormack, and then he just laid it off, you know, from that to almost run around the back. Just running across the line sort of thing, and he's taken it. I think he's taken the first touch with his right, and then he's hit it with his left, and it's a great goal, you know. And that's what we've been lacking all game, and unfortunately, that's not you know, sitting on the last man sort of thing, and that's what the strikers don't do that often. You know, if I can go off a little bit when you were going back to, you know, Giannis saying about Hugo, I think, and I felt sorry for Hugo because you know he was the one tasked with doing the job of Matt Smith that should be doing, you know, lumping balls into his chest. You know, that's not his game. No, that's not Hugo's game. I don't understand why Smith wasn't starting from the start, as everyone else has said.
Yeah, listen, you know, and we're going to talk about his opportunity a little bit later on when the match was completely over at that point. But again, he had another opportunity as well, which again, you know, a good save by Baruch, but again, another opportunity set up by Ross McCormack and Matt Smith again in the 73rd minute. But we'll get back to that in a little bit. But before that, Giannis, I have to go to you because we got to talk about this. 69th minute, Fernando Amorebieta gets a red card on his foul on Callum Wilson, and Matt Ritchie scores on the penalty to make it 4-1. Talk about this whole sequence and what you saw on it.
I don't think it was a red. I don't. I think he was very unlucky to get it.
I'm glad that you said that because I agree with you. But go ahead.
Yeah, I thought it was a chintzy call. I mean, Bielsa's been, you know, he's been accused of some nonsense. Remember the two penalties last year up at City. He's been injured for a while, but you know he's a good international defender. I thought that was incidental contact, and I think if you're going to give anything, you're going to give a yellow. I thought it was a bogus call, but to be honest, and to be fair, it just about summed up our night. It went from one disaster to another, and it got so laughable that as a fan, you just got to laugh because when it's that bad and you're getting spanked, and let's be honest, they spanked. Gave us a good hiding. You know, you just have to look in the mirror and say, well, what next? I mean, once you're down to 10 men and then they score from the free kick, you're really looking down the end of a barrel.
Oh, that's funny, right. I'm sorry. It was a free kick, not a penalty. That was my fault.
You know what? It's funny. When the goal went in, I had this, for some reason, I thought of Sarah Brooks because I thought to myself, you know, she's been with the club a while and she's had to watch all this mayhem. And I think if there's one person who's probably earned a pay raise, it's probably her. And I feel sorry for her because she must be watching this going, what on earth is this all about? We've gone from playing, you know, United, City, Arsenal, Liverpool, Spurs and Everton to playing Millwall away in front of 11,000 fans and conceding 5 goals so many times in a season. And that sending off, you know, I saw the replay. I said, oh, really? Are you going to give it for that? But again, it was a microcosm of the night, and it's also a microcosm of the sort of year we've had. You know, we've gone from Derby, which was a super performance, to the Watford game where we gave up a silly goal but worked hard, to an absolutely awful performance on Friday. So we don't know what Fulham's going to show up. it's the case, you know. So.
And Giannis, that's the interesting part about all this. You know, again, only two matches ago, we looked so good against Derby County, and I thought worked very hard against Watford and should have gotten something out of that match. But again, it was the performance wasn't bad. This was horrible. So again, I'm going to read this. I want to get your thoughts on this because you were reading some comments from Kit. I'm going to share this, and I want to get your thoughts on this. Again, this is from the manager reaction because I find this interesting the way, you know, again, he's looking at this match. Again, this is a quote from Kit. We never got going, to be honest. They were a different level to us all over the pitch from start to finish, Simon said in his post-match press conference. All I can put it down is to 3 games in a week against 3 top sides. That's the part I want to ask you about. He's talking about the fact, he's basically talking about the fact that we played 3 matches in basically 7 days. How much do we put on that, and should we be even talking about that after this loss? I actually wish he didn't mention the fact that we played 3 matches. That, to me, you're looking for excuses. I understand it. It could be a reason. I just wish he didn't put that in his reaction.
I absolutely agree. Those comments were as lame as a one-legged donkey. I mean, really? I mean, we've got 46 league games in a season. Guess what, Kit? We play the same amount of games as everybody else. 3 games in a week. Yeah, it happens. It's happened more than once this year. It hasn't suddenly just crept up on us. You can't use that lame, bogus excuse, especially when we have we've got a squad as well. We've got players like Corley Woodrow not starting. Where was Grimm? We've got all these players, you know, players like the Chris Davids who we shipped out. And then you start blaming the fixture list. Like, you know, this is what I would have said if I was Kit. I would have said, we were second best tonight. It was unacceptable. We've got work to do on the training field. Next game, Sheffield Wednesday, we'll be ready. That's all he's got to say. That's all he's got to
say. That's all. I totally agree with that, Giannis. That's why when I read this part talking about the 3 matches against the top sides, I get it. I understand that. But I just wish he didn't. He can feel that way, and it just comes off as an excuse. It's like, no, we don't need an excuse. We were terrible. Just let's move on, and let's move on to Sheffield Wednesday. I just wish he didn't say that. That's all.
The best coaches.
I know.
The best coaches. The best coaches. I mean, you know, you're a Patriots fan, and you know, Bill Belichick.
Belichick would never say that. By the way,
never say that. And the best coaches never give excuses. They say, you know what? It's like the old adage that if your team plays well, you congratulate the players. But if your team doesn't play well, look in the mirror. And the fact of the matter is, we're not organized. We're not playing well. The formation's bogus. The lineups are awful. At halftime, I think he's putting Valium in the halftime tea because we're coming out as flat as a pancake. So it's not working. So he needs to look at it. Kurbishley can help, but he'll only help as much as Kit lets him. And I think that's the thing. And so, you know, he has to look in the mirror and say, okay, do I need to change something? Well, Kit, if you're listening to this, mate, I've got a little suggestion for you. Next Saturday, when you go up to Hillsborough, my suggestion, first and foremost, is you put Mr. Smith in. Give Hugo a rest. Give him a bit of a break. Let's get Cawley into the lineup, see how we can fit him in. Let's get Grimmer back in. You know, maybe Jazz Richards will be available. You know, let's get Dan Byrne in. He's been sitting on his ass for months. Let's change things up and see what happens. There you go. Because you know what? If it walks like a duck and it talks like a duck and looks like a duck, it's a duck. You can't keep Bodrov and Hutchinson week in, week out with the same mistakes, game in, game out, and suddenly expect it to go fabulously wrong. I'm going to piss Fulham fans off here, but that game last week against Derby was a fluke. It was a fluke, because if you look at all the results that have surrounded it and the performances, none of us saw that coming. None of us. And then we go to Watford thinking, yeah, we might get something, and we lose. Then we lay the egg on Friday night. So this is a big week for Kit, because we've got Sheffield Wednesday, Leeds United, and Huddersfield Town on the horizon. They're winnable games, but we have to start getting scared, because if Wigan or Millwall start winning games, we're in real trouble. So we need...
I totally agree with you. The three matches coming up, they need to take care of business to take that off the table, Giannis. Because again, very good point. If for some reason Millwall, and as Mike has mentioned, you got to watch out for Wigan. If they start winning, the pressure is severely on. It's 8 points. It's okay, but if you get a win or two and they don't win and it gets up to 11 or 14, you know, we're all set. But we're not there yet. We're not crossed the finish line yet. And he actually also mentions that in his manager reaction. He knows it. But again, this next week, I'm glad that you brought up these next three matches are going to be very important to put to rest relegation. They can put it to rest, or pretty much put it to rest. It's in their hands. They are all three winnable matches. Very good point by you. All right, Mike, back to you to finish this off, because I want to ask you about Matt Smith. We've talked about him before. And, you know, and again, I looked at him as just this really big target man and just basically uses his head. But I have to say on this second opportunity, which he does not score on, set up again by Ross McCormack, he surprised me because he does have a nice shot on him, Mike. I want to get your thoughts about this opportunity and also how he played in the second half. I'm curious your thoughts on him.
I've I've been a bit criticised for what I think of Smith. I mean, you know, he's a decent, big, tall player. He's got a good left foot, and he showed that with his goal. You know, took it first time, and the second chance, the ball's running away, but he's still got the shot in. And so, you know, he's a handful. He's always going to cause problems if you get the ball to him the right way. And what I've been saying is, given the players we have, that when he starts, I've said to people, don't moan if we play long ball, because we haven't got proper wingers, and our fullbacks and defenders are not intelligent enough to play anything else apart from lumping it up forward towards him, because a footballer's instinct is there's a you know, not a proper centre forward like McBride, but when you see a bit more of a beanpole type player, it's, oh, I'll just lump it forward, it's the easy option. And I have to say that's what we've reverted to in the Watford game and when Smith was on. Now, it is effective to a point. But, you know, you're better if you've got a centre-forward, if you've got proper wingers, and you can play it the right way, and then there's nothing wrong with these types of players. But, you know, he's done well in the two games, and, you know, irrespective of my own personal feelings about him as a player, it's shown that Kit was made a mistake of maybe not extending his loan the first time, but certainly over the last month he should have been in the squad as another option, absolutely, given the bad run we were having since Christmas. So, you know, Kit shot himself in the foot there with that one. And certainly there is a split in the fans whether he should be a starter or whether he should be a plan B. But he's probably done enough to warrant starting next week. There's no doubt about that. Can I just go back to the sending off, though, Russ?
Yeah, absolutely, Mike. Feel free to.
Yeah. What I would say to anyone, if you've got access to the two-minute replay, go to 1 minute 23 and 1 minute 24 and 1 minute 25, which is when that goal appears. Freeze the frame and then just put it forward every little second, yeah? And you'll see where our problems are. You have Hoogland going for a ball over the halfway line. You have Parker behind him. You have Tunnicliffe in front of Hoogland to the right. You've got Hutchinson out of screen. You've got Bodroff 10 yards in front of Hutchinson. You've got Ambretta over here on the dugout. It just, honestly, people look at that and it just sums up our defence that day. And it's quite embarrassing. And when you see well-drilled teams like Roy's was or, you know, any other team at the moment, let's be honest, you know, defenders should be 10 yards, you know, within each other at least. It should be a good solid line. And that just sums up our defence under Kit, unfortunately. I don't agree with Yanis that last week was a fluke. It was a case of everyone doing their job, working hard, which is what I said at the top of the show. The only way we can currently compete with these teams is to be 100% every player on it, and we weren't
I agree
that
with
on
you,
Friday
Mike.
At all. You know.
Yeah,
so
I agree with you, Mike, and that's the one. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. Go on, Russ.
No, I was going to say, Mike, that's what's so frustrating about this, because I didn't see the same type of commitment from all 11 that I saw against Derby County, and I will also say against Watford. I saw some of that against Watford as well, maybe not for the entire 90 minutes, but I didn't see that type of intensity commitment like you're talking about.
No, absolutely not. It was missing, and I don't know why. It was missing a little bit in the first half against Watford, but it was back again the second half, and you know, it was the most senior team we've put out on Friday night. As I said, everyone wanted Hoogland back, everyone wanted Ambretta back. You know, it was the oldest team and it was the most experienced team, and that's what you got.
Right. You know, and listen, you know, it's funny because I'm not going to read through it, but Kit does mention the fact that the two guys coming back, I'm paraphrasing, that they were rusty, and I get that. And if you felt that way, you just brought up a good point. Why not play Jack Rimmer? You know, why? You know, he just got a new contract. Where was Jack Rimmer? I think I know where Jack Rimmer was. He was not, you know, he was not at Craven Cottage, or not on the starting 11 or on the bench. You know, again, you do have injuries. I understand the situation with Jazz Richards. I do understand, you know, the situation with Stafelidis. I think, Mike, you might have mentioned maybe he should have considered Kavanaugh. Kavanaugh's a left back. You know, I would have been okay with. I think the one that I was expecting. I was expecting Hoogland, Mike. I was not expecting a Morbieta to start. And I think the fact that you had them both, I think that was part of the problem here, because they both were rusty. I think you might have been okay with one. But two, I think, was too many, if that makes sense, Mike.
Yeah, absolutely. And some people have commented that, you know, we were so strong against Derby defensively because we worked as a unit. And then Watford, okay, we lost, but there was still that, you know, that back four, whatever the criticisms you have of them, they still did an okay job. And then suddenly to take 50% of that back four out for whatever reasons, and bring in players who haven't played for a long time. So Kavanagh's been around. He knows what other players are playing like. For me, he should have gone in at left back. Ambretta should not have started at all. And it should have been Fofana just in front of him.
I like that, actually. Yeah.
And another thing we haven't spoken about tactically was, you know, Tunnicliffe, who's got a lot of criticism, but the poor bloke, I don't know what he was asked to do the other day. I mean, he was really wide and he seemed to be taking runners. I mean, at times it looked like he wished the ground would open up because he just looked clueless into what he was actually meant to be doing. And his performances go up and down like a roller coaster. And this is a player who Ipswich fans, and it was Blackburn, wasn't he?
It was Blackburn,
have raved about. you know, they've said they really liked him, and yeah, he's come back to us, and apart from maybe a couple of performances, you can't see it. And so you have to put it down to what they're being told to go out and play.
Yeah.
And at times...
That's a very good point, Mike.
At times it looks like a Sunday team.
It's a very good point. And this goes back, you know, again, listen, I don't want this to be 90 minutes of us killing Kidd. I know we're doing that a little bit. And I do like Kidd, and I want to see Kidd succeed. But this goes back to something that, you know, Giannis, you said to me, I'm spoiled. I have probably one of the best coaches ever in the NFL who puts his team in position each and every week to succeed. He asks everyone just to do their job, puts them in the right position. And we're questioning, is Kidd doing that, Mike? Because I don't have the answer. You're questioning it. Giannis is questioning it. Steve, I don't want to speak for you, but you could be thinking it. So again, well, Steve, I'm going to ask you, what are your thoughts about this? I shouldn't speak for Giannis, and I mean, I was speaking for Giannis, and Mike, do you know, how do you feel about Kidd putting his players in the position to succeed? I'm going off on a rant. Steve, you there?
Oh, sorry, yeah, sorry, I thought we were talking to Mike. I completely agree. I don't think, like everyone said, really, I don't really think he knows what he's doing at the moment, you know. And again, I'm going to go off a little bit, but there were times, you know, where Kidd was just standing on the touchline, you know, sort of chewing on his cheek almost, you know, sort of, you know, wondering what to do. Clearly not a clue, you know, whereas you might thought someone like Kerbyshire would be stood next to him, you know, suggesting something to happen. And like I said, I think I'm going off a bit, but it just seemed clueless from the outset.
Yeah.
You know, and 1-0 down, nothing changed. 2-0 down, nothing changed. 3-0, again, Kidd still stood in his own chewing. He seemed to never leave the technical area, just stood there. And it was really baffling.
Yeah. No, I hear you, Stephen. That's why I'm glad that we could talk about this. All right, let's move on. Let's, you know, again, Fulham give up the fifth goal. We don't have to talk about that because I'm tired of talking about these goals. So let's go to Stat Attack, and let's see what you guys get out of this. And these are just the full-time stats. Fulham had 42% of the possession. Bournemouth had 58. Total shots, this is interesting. Fulham had 19. Bournemouth had 25. Shots on target, this is the one that's going to kill you. Fulham had 3 shots on target. Bournemouth had 12. Corners, Bournemouth had 8. Fulham had 5. Crosses, pretty even. Bournemouth had 19. Fulham had 18. Tackles, Bournemouth had 16. Fulham had 25. Shots blocked, Bournemouth had 5. Fulham had 9. Passing accuracy, Bournemouth was at 78%, and Fulham were at 70%. Fouls, Bournemouth were at 11. Fulham were at 15. All right, Giannis, I'm going to go to you. What do you get out of the stats from this match?
I think, the shots on target, again, it's, you know, if you have 3-4 shots on target, guess what? If you have a 100% record, you're only going to score 3 or 4 goals. And just to the point earlier about, you know, Kidd talking about rusty fullbacks, I must have only half a brain cell. Or am I so stupid that not to think that if your fullbacks are rusty, don't play them? You've got a squad for a reason. Why the hell would you make the fact that your fullbacks are rusty as an excuse when you had the decision to put them in there in the bloody first place? Like, I have to be missing a screw somewhere here. Because it is actually so stupid, it's laughable. I mean, you've got Vossa on the bench. You've not put Grimmer in the 18. And then you say, well, our fullbacks were rusty. Oh, my God. And I've mentioned, by the way, about him standing on the sidelines, chewing the cud with his hands in the pockets. And you know what? I think the biggest indictment of him doing that is the fact he's not on the bench talking to his assistant coach. He's saying, what do you see? Because he doesn't even trust them enough to sit with them and say, okay. Because you see the Arsene Wenger's maybe the best example. He sits on the bench, you know, and he's talking constantly to his assistant coaches. What do you see? What should we change? Let's look at the subs, boom, boom, boom. And he doesn't do that. He's just a lone wolf standing there on the sideline like a lemon. I mean...
Well, I'll give you a very good example. Steve McLaren, up in the stands, talking to his assistants throughout the match. You know, and again, God, I feel like I'm killing Kit here, but I think he deserves it in this case, and I'm glad that you brought that up. It's like if things aren't working, talk about how to fix it during the match. You know,
yeah.
I totally agree with you on that, Giannis. Mike, over to you. What jumps out to you with the stats? For me, it has to be the shots on target. How about you?
That was definitely, you know, it was good that we got 19 shots. I mean, that showed something, I suppose, in attacking this end. But again, the shots on target, I'm trying to look at the bright side, lads, you know.
No, you're right, Mike, you're right.
It's boredom we have been doing. But one of the things you've got to think about is defensively again. So I had a look at a little bit more at the shots, and, you know, we had 9 of our shots blocked, whereas they had 5. So again, you've got to look at, are we getting ourselves in positions to block the shots? Are we defending? If you look at the fifth goal, Fofana leans to his, you know, he leans to his left and the ball sort of goes past him. And we've seen a number of goals where the players aren't really putting their body on the line, whereas that's what they did last week against Derby. And so for me, you drill down a little bit more, and it's commitment again. And, you know, be that because the player's on loan or their contract runs out in the summer, or, you know, there's always issues. And, you know, it's commitment. I think that's what looks, you know, you look at the passing stuff, it's almost the same passing accuracy. I mean, Bournemouth had nearly 500 passes, but, I mean, you know, we're down to 10 men. But, yeah, I mean, shots on target. I mean, if it's 3 shots on target, that's Smith. Then with the goal, it's Smith with his second shot.
Yeah.
So whatever the third one was, really. I mean, there's not a lot to look at that. And we'll come away and say that's a positive. Smith is the only positive.
Okay. Yeah. I was going to say, we are grasping at straws here. We really are. Steve, how about you?
I think Mike, I'm sure on this one, really. I think Mike's covered everything I was thinking, to be honest.
Okay.
Yeah, literally. Mike covered it all.
I'm sorry. Stevie, you're still there?
Yes, Russ, I'm still here. Literally, I have none. I have absolutely nothing to add to it. Mike has covered everything I was thinking.
Oh, okay.
A little bit more. No.
Okay, not a problem. All right, guys. Let's move on, and before we rate the players, I do want to mention this. A Fulham supporter who is a regular listener actually emailed me some of his thoughts, and I'm going to share that with you guys and get your thoughts on it, because Rob's a good guy, and he just wanted to share his thoughts on the match. So I'm gonna read it from Rob Finch. He emailed me this morning. He says, a couple of points. Bettinelli. There's been a lot of stick on Twitter for Marcus Bettinelli, as if he is somehow responsible for the 5 goals and recent performances. This is plainly absurd. Apart from a couple of glaring errors, which any young keeper will make, he has been outstanding, and alongside LVC, the 2 brightest sparks of the season. Hugo, the Hugo debate. To be honest, I'm not Hugo's biggest fan, but there is no point in criticizing him unless we are playing to his strengths, and then he doesn't deliver. He's had no service on the deck for weeks now. High balls up to him are not going to work. Simply as that. If you want to play that way, then play Smith. Hugo's confidence has plummeted as a result. Finally, Kit. We need stability. I don't want Kit to go, so I hope he can turn it around. But at the moment, he has lost it, and the tactics have gone from bad to worse. I was really hopeful that Hoogland and Amorebieta would make a difference on Friday, but they both had shockers and were obviously very rusty. But the last 2 games, Derby aside, which without awful ponderous passing, we've been lumping it up to whoever can get near it. Grimmer is not ready and Richards is not good enough. Steph Leitis is an enigma, but is underperforming. And whatever defense skills Hutch has, passing a decent ball forward is completely beyond him. Sorry, Russ, I could go on forever. But those are the issues that are exercising me at this moment. Use or discard as you see fit. Okay, well, Rob, I just read through them. And, so I just want to get your thoughts on what Rob just shared to me that I shared to you guys.
I don't disagree with anything he said except Just thinking about Stefanidis. I mean, Stefanidis is what, 20, 21 years of age. He's still a kid.
Yeah.
He's still a kid. He's going to take time to develop. I'm not gonna knock Bettinelli under any circumstances. I mean, if I had to, I mean, anyone who in hell's name is going to play behind a back four like that and not concede goals? You could have Dino Zoff, Peter Shilton, or Gordon Banks behind that lot, and it still won't make much difference. If they're going to defend, if you're going to have kamikaze defensive tactics, you're going to concede goals. That save he made early on was absolutely brilliant. It could have been 6-7-8-1. So I think he's had a good, very good season, and he saved out of Bacon on more than one occasion. The kit thing, I mean, I suppose we're stuck till the end of the season. But if we assume that we stay up, I have to think there's got to be a change there. And that's why I think I think that Kit is warming the seat for Kerbishley. I think Kerbishley takes over the end of the year.
Interesting. Well, he's now back involved, and he's there until the end of the season, so it'll be interesting to see what type of role Alan Kerbishley has. And I've had people tell me, oh, just be happy he's with Fulham. You know, he's going to right the ship for Fulham. I've had several people tell me that. So I think it's a good thing having Kerbishley involved. We'll see down the road how involved he actually gets.
Right.
All right, guys, just for time's sake, let's get into rating the players. And, Mike, I'm going to start with you. I want to get your rating for Marcus Bettinelli.
I feel so sorry for the lad. I mean, he could have maybe done better with one of the goals, possibly two, but I have to agree with Yanis. I wouldn't want to play behind our defence this year. And my only concern is long-term, you know, is he going to finish this season just short of confidence? And if we had another goalkeeper, I might actually take him out of the firing line. But I really don't want Corrali in goal. But so I think Paul Bettinelli's going to have to stick it through to the end of the season and recharge his batteries in the summer. And hopefully he can be the number one next year, because I think he's good enough. So
yeah,
I'm going to give him a 5. You know, an average game. I mean, he's lit in 5 goals. Let's blame the goalkeeper. It's the easiest option. But honestly, he made a couple of really good saves, and I can't give him any lower than a 5.
Okay, fair enough. Over to you, Steve.
I've given him a 6. The only thing I can really like to say, he's done a couple of good saves. That one good, really, I thought was a world class save actually from the when it was 0-0, when the guy cut in on the edge of the box and it was heading straight for the top corner. Yeah, absolutely fantastic. I had a perfect view of it and I thought, this is in all the way. And then he just got his strong fingertips and I was like, that's a brilliant save. You know, any keeper's going to be happy with that one. So I was tempted to give him a 6.5, but like Mike said, you know, unfortunately, when you've conceded 5 goals, you know, you can't really give him any more than a 6. I wouldn't want to give him a 5 because, to me, that suggests he's done something wrong. And really, it's not his fault, and he's pulled a fantastic save. So I'm giving him 6.
Okay. Yanis, over to you.
I give Bettinelli a 6, and again, for that one save in particular, which was absolutely fantastic, I really thought that was going in as well. He's not done a lot wrong, to be honest. He's made a couple of huffers, but, I mean, most keepers do. So, you know, you can't blame him, even though he's conceded 5. So I'd give him 6.
Okay. All right, good stuff. Yanis, I'm going to go right back to you. Just for time's sake, I'm going to try to speed this up a little bit. So I'm going to give you the back four all together. I'm going to give you Tim Hoogland, Sean Hutchinson, Nikolai Bodaroff, and Fernando Amorebieta. So rate the back four. I'm curious your thoughts on all of them.
This is an easy one. Hoogland, 4. Amorebieta, 4. Hutchinson, 4. Bodaroff, 4.
Okay.
Hoogland and Amorebieta weren't ready. They weren't ready. They weren't fit enough. They weren't match fit. Hutchinson and Bodaroff their partnership right now is having Shaquille O'Neal and Twiggy on an ice rink.
What a great comparison.
Yeah, it's disjointed and it's dysfunctional. It's not working. And to what Mike talked about earlier, in terms of the shape, it's not working. The back four was a wreck.
Okay.
The best I can give all of them is 4.
4s, okay. Good stuff. Steve, over to you.
I might surprise you a bit, actually, Yanis. I've actually given Hutchinson, I thought about David's rating of a 5, but I've actually given him 5.5.
And the reason for that is not because he was exceptional, far from it. Not because, you know, his ball playing out from the back was pretty awful, as we all know. You know, the long balls up to the top. I actually thought he was pretty much the defence. You know, Bart, if you take the keeper out, he was pretty much the defence, you know, covering for the fullbacks where he could. Without him, I potentially could have seen another two or three goals going in. So that's really why I gave him a 5.5. Hoogland 4, Bodrov 4, Amorbiet 4. Again, you could also make a case for giving the fullbacks 3s, but I've gone for 4.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
Good stuff there, Steve.
True.
Mike, over to you.
Well, I can say to Steve that I have given the fullbacks 3, actually, both of them. They both get 3. Bodrov gets 3 as well. And Hutchison gets a 4, because I have to agree with Steve at times. And especially when I mentioned earlier, you go back to watching the replay, and Hutchison's covering a lot of ground, and even the third goal, you know, what's he doing over on the left-hand side having to go that far wide? So, Hoogland, Amora, Bodarev, all 3, and Hutch 4, and really, you could drop all 4 and replace them next week, and I don't think any of them would be missed.
Good stuff there, yeah, Mike.
Agreed.
All right, I'm going to go right back to you. Now I'm going to give you the midfield altogether. I'm going to give you the diamond. Let's do Scott Parker. I'm curious your thoughts on Scott Parker. Ryan Tunnicliffe, which you've been talking about, Sean Kavanagh, and also Brian Ruiz. We've actually not talked that much about Brian Ruiz in this match, so I'm curious your thoughts on all 4 of them.
Okay, well, Kavanagh, I'm going to give a 3. Again, as I said earlier, I thought he was pretty anonymous and didn't really do much at all, to be honest. The trouble with Kavanagh is it's odd because he's had a few shots with his right foot, and you sort of think, well, he's got a decent right foot. But I don't know if Steve would agree. When you're at the game, you see him with the ball. He has to have it on his left virtually all the time, and he ends up having to cut inside, and then it ends up going backwards, and he just didn't help create anything. So, yeah, 3 for him. Tunnicliffe, as I said, you know, looked lost at times, and I feel really sorry for him. But again, what did he contribute to the game? Not a lot, so 3 as well. Parker, I'll give 3.5, but he's not covering the defence. He's not helping them. Again, that horrible third goal just waltzes past him and Hutchison. Ruiz, I'll give a 4. Not all his passes worked, but he was involved in the goal, which no one mentioned. He beats a nice little player, lays off to McCormick. And
I should have mentioned that, Mike.
Yeah,
thank you for saying that, because it did start with Brian Ruiz.
Yeah, and you know I'm not his biggest fan, Russ, and but there is no doubt he is a skillful player. But I really, you know, to all the Ruiz fans out there, everyone talks about the diamond. Where else can he play? Please, because you all know he can't play wide. So we either have to stick with his 3 in midfield with him behind the striker, he either has to play as a striker, or he doesn't play at all. So you're either stuck with a diamond, or you play 4, he has to play as a winger, which we all know he doesn't do. But the other day he was the best midfielder, which is not really saying a lot, but, you know, a 4 anyway.
Okay. All right, good stuff there. Steve, over to you.
I've given Tunnicliffe a 4.5. Again, not really his fault. Like you say, he wasn't really, he didn't seem to know what he was doing half the time simply because he didn't know what the tactics were. Parker, I gave him a 5.5 only because he tried to drive the team forward a lot in the first half. And it was one of those things, although you're a professional, when you see nothing going right and no one else kind of trying, you kind of lose the will a bit. I felt he lost the will. So you could argue a 5, but I gave him 5.5. Kavanagh, I think he's going to be a talent. I thought he looked out of his depth, though. I gave him 4. Just completely lost again, possibly due to the role he's playing. Ruiz, again, I thought he was our best player. You know, he actually won a few headers in the middle of the park as well. He was quite strong on the ball at times, and his final product wasn't brilliant. So he gave him a 6. I thought he was the best player.
Okay, interesting stuff. Over to you, Giannis, our midfield.
Oh, mother of God, give me strength. Parker, I'm going to give a 5. You know, he's got a lot of mileage in his legs, and he's going to have great games like against Derby, and he's going to have games where it doesn't go according to plan. This is one of those. He never lacks effort, but he looked tired out there. Tunnicliffe, I'm going to give a 5. I feel, what Mike said earlier, I feel really sorry for this kid. I've always, you know, always coached on the notion that you don't become a player overnight. Ipswich and Blackburn did love this player, and Blackburn fans were particularly pissed off that we got him back. He's obviously been played out of position, and he's obviously been given the wrong instructions. He was highly touted at United, and he's obviously had 2 good loan spells out. So, you know what, he looked lost out there, which was a shame. Kavanagh, a 3, and I do think he's going to be a good player, but he did little yesterday, to be honest. He was out of the play. Ruiz, I thought, was our best player, and I'm going to give him a 6, but that's not saying a lot. I think did he not have a clearance off the line? Did he clear one off the line?
I'm not sure.
I'll have to check on that.
I think you're right.
I think he cleared one off
the line. No, it was Tunnicliffe.
Yeah.
Was it Tunnicliffe?
Tunnicliffe cleared off the line.
Oh, it was Tunnicliffe.
Yeah.
Okay. But you know what? Actually, it's funny. Linked to Ruiz, here's a thought. We're going to go back to Kit for a second. He takes Ruiz off, and who does he bring on? Stafelidis,
yeah.
I mean, you've got on the bloody bench. I mean, am I missing a screw again? Like, you're 72 minutes into a game where you are, I think when he came on, we would have been 4-1 down. That's right, we were 4-1 down.
Correct.
And he takes Ruiz off and he brings a defender on. Well, that works, doesn't it? Did I miss? No, I think that is. Ruiz is my man of the match, but it doesn't really say a lot for the rest of them. But it was symptomatic of the damp squib that was our performance, unfortunately, on Friday night.
Boy, you know it's painful going through this, but we gotta finish this off, Giannis. I'm gonna go right back to you. Let's go to Ross McCormack, Hugo, and I'm gonna put Matt Smith on with that because he came on at halftime. So we're gonna rate him too. So let's rate all 3 strikers in this game.
I'm going to have to do it. Actually, you know what? I was thinking I'm going to have to do a flip here. Roddy Yeager,
okay.
3. Roddy Yeager's was anonymous, but this is a guy that has to have a ball at his feet. Really, you don't want to be lumping balls up there. I felt sorry for him, but I felt sorry for him for a while. He's out of form and out of confidence. Give him a couple of games off just to watch from the bench, see what he can do from the bench. McCormack, 5. He looks to have lost a little bit of confidence, but I think that he seemed to perk up in the second half when Smith came on. It's a good partnership. I think they should put that lot together. And actually, I'm going to flip my man of the match to Smith. Smith, for me, gets a 7 because he looked dangerous when he came on. And he does. I'm not a fan of the long ball, route 1, a la Wimbledon.
Neither am I.
87. But there's no doubt about the fact that he's extremely effective and he scares the bejeevers out of defenders. And we now know he can finish. And we now know that the goals he scored at Bristol City were not a fluke. So he made an impact like he did on Tuesday, and I think he's given us enough argument to state that Kit should start him next Saturday, which probably means he'll start at right back.
Oh, Giannis, you know, it's funny because, you know, again, this goes back to the whole situation with him. You know, do you start him? Is he a plan B? Because, you know, I like what he offers. I just don't like what usually comes along with someone like him, and that's what you just said, the long ball, route 1. I don't want that. But there's no denying his impact so far. It's there.
And
the fact that he, like you said, he can score, he can finish. Yeah. I wasn't sure if he could do that. He can finish. So that didn't look like a fluke to me. So,
no,
again, it's difficult to say, you know what, we shouldn't be starting him based on how he's playing. How can I say that? But again, I will go back and say I'm not a fan of Route 1 football. If that's, you know, again, but it is about the results. It's about if he can help us win, I guess I have to bite the bullet on that one and say you got to do what you got to do to win. All right, Steve, over to you on the strikers. Rate the strikers in this game.
Yeah, I give Ross. I'm undecided on a 5.5 or a 6. Again, he did look. He looked a lot out of sorts. He was sort of first half, especially. He was kind of like, you know, he didn't look interested at times. But that's probably more the way we were playing. And then I've also given Hugo a 3. Now, obviously, if Hugo is listening to this, I'm going to have to say that's a 3 based on him. I put this solely down to the tactics of playing the long ball into him, which is not his role. So, literally, I blame the manager for this. That's his tactics. That's Kit's fault.
Okay.
Again, incidentally, given that we had quite good people in the air, you know, Hugo's not too bad in the air. Matt Smith isn't too bad in the air. How about we draw names out of a hat and maybe play Hugo and Smith at centre back? That would be interesting.
Yeah, okay.
Why not?
Let's go back to Felix Bingo. No, yeah, let's not go back to Felix Bingo. Please, no Felix Bingo. I'm kidding. All right, Mike, over to you. I'm curious your thoughts on all three strikers in this match.
Okay, with Hugo, I'm going to give him a 3 because, he didn't do much. He had that header, but the crowd were on his back from kickoff. And as we know, Hugo's quite an emotional person. And when I saw him go off at half time, he looked a wreck. And I wonder if that played a part in him being subbed, actually, to be perfectly honest. And I'll be surprised if we see much of him now between now and the end of the season, quite frankly. McCormick, I'm going to have to... It was almost too harsh for McCormick. I thought, actually, he was almost a disgrace in the first half in front of me. I think I tweeted something about he was, just not doing anything. And he obviously gets stroppy and upset about things, but... Yeah, I mean, first half, I'm almost tempted to give him like a 2 because I just thought you're not even trying, you're not doing anything. He looks totally unhappy, and of course, you know, fans are unhappy, the club are unhappy, you're in the position we're in, but you've still got to go out there. You know, you're a senior player, you're a top goal scorer, and I think McCormick gets a big break from a lot of people because they know he's a skillful player, and he knows he's a goal scorer. But actually, some of his performances have been well below par. Second half, he perks up. His mate Smith's playing, and he's involved in the goal, and he's involved, I think, in the second chance as well for Smith. So second half, I'm going to give him a 4. But overall, I don't know. I suppose 3.5. Or it's a difficult one. I just don't think he had a really good game, and
okay.
Apart from those two instances. And Smith, I'll give a 6. He was the best Fulham player. I'm not going to use man of the match. He was the best Fulham player. I'll give him a 6. And he probably deserves to start, you know, despite my sort of reservations about what he means we will end up playing. But, as a striker who's come on and scored a goal and made some problems for teams, then, a 6 for him and our best player.
Okay, and listen, I understand your reservations about him, Mike. I have the same ones as you, but it's difficult, you know, again, for me to say, you know what, you shouldn't play him because I don't like what comes along with that. He scored a goal, and he probably should, you know, he probably should start and see what you can do that. And I think that there is this chemistry between him and McCormack that's pretty good. So, again, it's difficult for me not to say he shouldn't start the next game, but we'll get to that next week. Mike, going back to your point about Ross McCormack, I would say it's body language. You know, his body language is poor. Would that be a good way to put it? You know, he's you can see he's an emotional guy, but his body language at time can be off-putting, I guess you could say.
Yeah, it's a real difficult one. You know, we've spoken before in the past about how he tends to fall over.
I don't like that either.
In the second half, there was a particular instance in the second half where he was bundled over in the penalty box and he lay on the ground for ages. And actually, the ball came out and we actually, for once, won the ball. And the fact that he was still prone on the ground meant that, one, he was offside, and two, we were one player down when we got the ball looking for attacking options. And, he's just frustrating me at the moment. And he's just not doing enough for me. And I'd argue, you know, I,
I could argue we all want to see brilliant football, but Smith's going to start probably. I'm quite happy if he, you know, we go completely the opposite way. You play Smith, you play two players behind him, and you just go long and just do it. You know, forget the midfield. We're not passing anyone. We're not really creating anything. So, okay, fine, go that way. But have a plan of some kind.
Yeah.
Don't have a mishmash of...
No, I hear you.
Of trying to put team out.
I hear you, Mike. No, that's a good point. You know, if you're going to play that way, make sure you have a definitive plan to go along with it. Not, you know, not play the way it has been lately. Even in the Watford match, it just looked like it was like, okay, we're just gonna lob it up there to him, and it just didn't seem like there was some thought into it. It was just like, okay, this is what we're gonna do now. Have a plan. I agree with you on that, and you know, I also think that was part of the difference in this match, Mike. You know, getting back to this, we're talking about a team that had a definitive plan, knows how that they play. Everyone has a role, and they do it very well, compared to a team that really looked disjointed. I think that's the best way to describe this embarrassing loss, and it's an embarrassing loss. Like Yana said, how many times this season do we have to see Fulham give up 5 goals? I mean, it's disgusting. I'm sorry. That part of it is disgusting, and it's something that's avoidable. And, you know, and it starts at the top, and that's going to lead me, guys, to rate Kit, because it's time to rate Kit. Giannis, I'll give you first shots at Kit. Rate the manager.
I'm going to give him 0.
Okay.
I've got to. And you know what? It's related to what Mike said earlier. Mike just said here. We can look at the lineups with the fullbacks. There's been a lot of moaning about the diamond, and it's not working. We're not utilizing wide players. Where, you know, Hugo's been out of sorts and he refuses to take him out. There's a lot of things. But Mike just talked about the fact that there has to be a plan. There's got to be something, a system, a style of play, and there isn't. It's not working. It hasn't worked for a while. And Friday, I think, was maybe the most embarrassing loss of the season, and notwithstanding the fact that Smith should have started and then he brought Stefanidis on for Ruiz. It was just a wreck from start to finish. I can't give him anything. I've got to give him a donut.
Okay. Fair enough. Over to you, Mike.
As much as I've laughed at Yanis in the past and his marks for Kit, I'm going to actually agree on this occasion.
Wow.
I can't score him, Russ. You know, and you know how much I like him.
I know.
But from the lineup and the kickoff onwards, nothing went right. And it had the feeling of a manager's last game within the stadium. And, you know, I've been there 30-odd years. I've seen enough of these types of games to think, that's it. He's not going to be here by the end of the day, you know. And the only thing that's, you know, I'm even reluctant to say Kit out because I wanted him so much. And, you know, and because he's an ex-hero and under-21 manager and we want him to succeed, we so much want him to succeed, but it's just not working. It really isn't working. And I just don't know what the club are going to do. I'm sure they're hoping we can figure out 3 wins from the last 10, but... Anything like we did on Friday, then you know, we're going to struggle. Next Saturday's not going to be easy. So
no.
I know they're on a bad run, but yeah, no, Kit, I can't score him.
Okay, so we've got 2 that have given the big 0. Steve.
Right, I'm giving him 1.
Hey, he's going to give him 1. Okay.
1. 1 for finally waking up to bring Matt Smith on at half time, despite the fact that most of us in the stand were calling the changes before we even done them. And so I'm going to give him another 0.5 for his immaculate jacket, trousers, and shoes as well. So I thought they were something special. I think they were new as well. So purely for his dress sense and also his substitution at half time, I'm giving him 1.
Okay. You're going to give him 1. Okay, fantastic. All right.
All right. Let's now talk about Bournemouth. Right back to you, Mike. Rate Bournemouth.
I'm going to give them a 10. Quite simply, out, you know, how out foxed us completely. But then none of it was a mystery. We've seen our Bournemouth play, and they played exactly the same at their place. And why is it that fans can go into a game knowing they're going to play two wide men, and we need to do something about it? That's the most frustrating thing about what's going on this year.
Okay, so you're going to give them a 10. That's fairly impressive there, Mike. Okay. Over to you, Giannis.
I'm going to give them a 10 as well.
Wow.
I think they're an outstanding side. And if you look at, really, it begins from the back. Baruch, I thought, was a really, really canny pickup. And they've got real quality in there. I mean, whether you've got Richie or the old Norwich lad Sermon or Pittman or Wilson, I mean, top to bottom, even their bench is strong. And I thought they were excellent. I thought they were fully worthy of the 5-1. I don't think really told the full story. I thought they were that good. I hope they get promoted. I think they're going to give a good account of themselves in the Premier League. I think they're going to scare a lot of teams. And it's nice to see a small club like Bournemouth, who for many years have been out of the limelight, in the shadow of the South Coast rivals, Portsmouth and Southampton. It's nice to see them get a little bit of glory. So I wish them nothing but success, and I wish them well. They're a great side.
Okay, very good stuff there. All right, Steve, how about you on Bournemouth?
Actually, I'm not going to go as high. I'm going to give them an 8, actually, simply because they were pretty good. At the same time, they can only play, you know, they can only beat what's in front of you. And I thought there are times that's all that you did the basics right, you know. You know, all we would do the basics. That's exactly what they did. Harold Harrod hunted in pairs at times, sometimes in three, and it was 3-1 at times. And that's basic football, you know. I can't say any more than that, really. I think you guys know where I'm going with that.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, good stuff. Yeah. All right. Quickly on the ref. Giannis, your thoughts on the ref?
Oh, do we get to rate their manager, or we don't?
No, but you can.
I'm going to give Eddie Howe a 10. He's the best manager in the Championship. And I don't think he's going to last that much longer in with Bournemouth. I think a big club's going to pick him up. He's done an incredible...
He is a very good manager. Very good point by you
to
mention that.
Yeah. He won't last long. The ref, I'm going to give him a 6 because I'm still a little critical of the sending off. To me, it wasn't. But really, look, whether he sent off or not, it doesn't matter. We're still going to get thumped regardless. He didn't really have a lot
yeah.
to do.
Okay.
A bit of a laugh at the game anyway, so.
All right. All right, guys, we only have about a minute 30 left, so fortunately I don't really have time to get your thoughts on the ref. But listen, really excellent show. I feel better now that we've gotten that off of our chest. And, of course, we have the Sheffield Wednesday match next week to, should I say, look forward to? I don't know if look forward to is a good way to put it at this point. All right. Giannis, as always, thank you for joining us. My friend, I know it was difficult to get on via Skype, but thank you.
It's always great to be on with you guys and have a bloody good laugh. God knows we needed it.
Oh, we definitely did. Mike, as always, you were top notch. Thanks again, my friend.
He's gone.
Okay. And Steve again.
Cheers, Russ.
You're welcome anytime. Really good job, my friend.
Yeah, thanks. It's always good to learn off you guys. Obviously, a bit more experience on the podcast would have helped.
Okay.
You've done great, Steve. You did great.
Steve, you did excellent, and all three of you, just really, seriously, fun show dealing with a very bad subject matter. So thank you very much,
yeah.
guys. All right, let's wrap this up. For Giannis, Mike, and Steve, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you again for listening to Cottage Talk Extra Time. Have a good, great day, guys.
Bye.
Yeah,
bye. Cheers.
Bye, team.
Cheers.
Boys and girls, London calling. Now don't look down.